O God, in the transfiguration of your Son, you confirmed the mysteries of the faith by the witness of Moses and Elijah, and in the voice from the bright cloud you foreshadowed our adoption as your children. Make us, with the King, heirs of your glory, and bring us to enjoy its fullness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading is written in the second book of Kings. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied, "but do not speak of it." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "but do not speak of it." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men of the company of the prophets went out and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you?" "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours, otherwise not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. This is the word of the Lord. Let us read Psalm 50, verses 1 to 6, responsively. The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets.
From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth.
Our God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours before him, and around him a tempest rages.
He summons the heavens above and the earth that made his ocean.
Gather to me my consecrated ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. The second reading is written in the second epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor we do distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Mark writes, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothing became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud, This is my son whom I love. Listen to him. Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, 3 dwellings, 3 tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Well, whatever for. Whatever for. The only purpose for such shelters or dwellings or tents would be to stay on the mountaintop, to camp out there. And although I grew up in Western Colorado and realize that mountains are cool, they are also dangerous, perilous places where God's people are concerned. God's people are never the same after a mountaintop. They are never, ever the same. When Moses takes 70 elders of Israel with him up Mount Sinai in the book of the Exodus, it's definitely cool. This is cool. They are allowed to see the God of Israel right there before them on a pavement like sapphire stone. I would like to see that myself. And they're allowed to eat and drink in God's presence. Now that's cool. But Moses also receives the tablets of stone bearing what we know as the Ten Commandments, which are also cool, but which force us to take seriously, to think about, and to be responsible for what we say and do, which is not always so cool. I say and do lots of things for which I would just as soon not be held responsible, but I don't have that freedom. When the prophet Elijah takes refuge on Mount Horeb in the second book of Kings because Queen Jezebel has taken out a contract on his life, you see, Elijah and the priests of Baal have had a little confrontation on Mount Carmel, and at God's command, Elijah has slain a number of them, and this has Queen Jezebel a mite upset, and so she has taken out a contract on his life. Well, Elijah is visited on Mount Horeb in his cave by that still small voice of God, which is cool because Elijah is feeling isolated and alone. But the voice also asks him, Elijah, what are you doing here? This isn't where I told you to be, and this isn't what I told you to be doing. Get back to work. Which is not so cool when you have someone like Queen Jezebel after your caboose. Dangerous business. Encountering God on the mountaintop puts us in danger, you see. It puts us in danger of not getting to have our own way. Puts us in danger of not getting whatever we want. Puts us in danger of having to consider more than we might prefer. Lots of us like to get by considering just as little as we can get away with. But again, this makes us consider more than we might want to prefer. Why ever would we want to stay on the mountaintop with all of that challenge right in front of us? Why would we want to do that? But then again, things down the mountain aren't so whippy either. Down the mountain are any number of equally daunting challenges. Down the mountain are warfare and terrorism and hunger and AIDS and the demands of our jobs and the demands of our families and the demands of our communities and whatever doubts or fears or failings that we may bear as individuals. Why not try to stay on the mountaintop, you know, in the face of all of that? Why not try to stay on the mountaintop? Can it be any worse than what awaits us down the mountain? Now there's a dilemma. Challenge on the mountaintop, challenge down the mountain. Challenge both places, the dilemma. Then suddenly, Mark says, suddenly when the disciples look around, they see no one with them except Jesus. No one but Jesus alone. Moses is gone. Elijah is gone. Even the voice from the cloud is gone. Only Jesus remains there on the mountaintop in the face of what God wants for us and of what God wants of us that we may not necessarily want for ourselves but can't avoid. There's that dilemma again. Then just as suddenly, Peter, James, and John find themselves on their way down the mountain with Jesus right into the face of warfare and terrorism and hunger and AIDS and all of the stuff that we face. There it is. Jesus is with his disciples on the mountaintop, and he is with his disciples down the mountain as well. On the mountaintop, down the mountain as well. Jesus with us on the mountaintop and in the world. Jesus with us in the light and in the darkness. Jesus with us in the cloud and in the clear. Jesus with us in the sound of God's voice. And also Jesus with us in God's silence. Also the sound in the sound of God's voice and also in the silence of God. Jesus with us amid all the dangers that surround us, all of them, with us today, with us in water saying, you are mine, as indeed Jesus said this morning to Amanda Marie when we celebrated her baptism. He said, you are mine. With us in bread, my body given for you, with us in cup, my blood shed for you, with us in life, with us in death, with us in everything in between. Rabbi, Lord Jesus, it is good for us to be here and good for you to be here too, everywhere and always. So let everyone say amen.